Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. It's good to be here. It's good to be saved. I thank God. Thank God of all the things that I could be. The Lord saw fit to let me be born again, and I'm sure grateful for that. Thank God for the gospel that I got to be around. Thank God for the Bible that I get to hold. I sure thank God for the songs we get to sing. I'm glad when they do start singing that song. And listen, it is good. It's a blessing to be in the house of God and to have a roof over your head and to have food in your belly and to have shoes on your feet. But if you ain't got none of those things, thank God, I'm glad there is a home on heaven's eternal shore. Amen. And rest assured, Christ will take care of his home. Got your Bible, Luke chapter 15. I need your prayers. You ask the Lord to help us tonight. We'll read a few verses just by way of introduction, and we'll try to pray and get where the Lord have us to be. Chapter 15, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and the sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." I say thank God to that. Don't you thank God for that? Verse 3 says, "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, said if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" Look with me in verse number 8. Bible says, "And either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it?" Verse number 11, the Bible said, "And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together, and he took his journey from a far country into a far country. And there he wasted substance with riotous living." And the Bible said, "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want." I believe that's a God-ordained famine. Amen. And it said, "And he went, joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he went to his fields to feed the swine, and he would have fain filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat." He said, "And no man gave to him." Last part I'll read, verse 17. "And when he came to himself," Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you this morning. And God, what a blessing that it is to get to be in the house of God. I pray for a few minutes of time, Lord, would you please help us tonight. Father, help us to have our affection set on heaven. God, I pray. And Lord, if there'll be any preaching that'll be done today, it'll be done because you helped us, God. Father, I am very acutely aware of the fact today that, God, that I can't do not one thing without you. Father, these folks here today, they've got needs that are far bigger than anything we could ever do for them. They're bigger than the preacher. They're bigger than the church. But they are not bigger than you. And so, Lord, we're asking you to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. Speak to their hearts. God, I'm asking you somewhere between here and there that the sweet Holy Ghost would plow through their heart and make it to where it can receive the seed of the Word of God. Help me, Lord, to say the best thing that I ever have said about you this morning. God, I sure love you. And I want to go ahead and go on record and tell you I thank you already for what I feel in my heart this morning. It's sure good to be saved. God, I'm sure glad tonight. And Father, when I read through this text, God, I'm not reading about where I am. I'm reading about where I used to be. But I thank you for finding me. I thank you for loving me. I thank you for putting me in the family of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us now, Lord God, I pray. That's in Christ's name we humbly beg and ask. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I'm interested primarily in the whole chapter, and I'll not preach the whole thing for sake of time. But I want to say this to you. What you find in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, usually we preach one parable at a time, and we preach about the sheep, and we we preach about the silver and we preach about the sun. But really, God is painting one picture. And the picture goes back to the question. And he asked in chapter 15, verse 1. And when all of these sinners drew near, and the publicans and the sinners, for to hear it. And the Bible said, and the Pharisee said, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And in response to what they said, and the Lord Jesus Christ begins to tell not one parable, but he tells three parables on separate occasions right there to them, and so that they can get the picture. They must be a lot like us. And one story ain't good enough. And so God tells them three stories. And we could say it like this, and you've heard it many times, and that they get increasingly and more expensive as the story goes on. It's one out of 100, and then it's one out of 10, and then it's one out of 2. But really, what I'd like to preach on this morning, if the Lord would be my helper, it's in every state we see a sinner and where they stand before God. I'd like to preach on this subject this morning, and we find in chapter 15 of the lost and the found. Amen. I got thinking about this, friend. I'm sure there's folks no doubt here that you've lost some things before, maybe, and I couldn't remember where you put it, and maybe at the zoo or at a place, and somebody turned that thing in to the lost and found. I thought what I could say about the lost and found then is that there's something in there and it belonged to someplace else. Amen. It was somebody who lost it. And you say, preacher, when did we get lost? Way back yonder in the garden. Amen. And we find that God had put Adam in a perfect place, in a perfect state, and somehow or another, thank God, because of his desire and his flesh, he lost it. Amen. And that sin that day was passed on to all of us. And so we've all been in the lost bin. Amen. But I got good news for you. If you were to keep reading your Bible, you'd get over there to Luke's gospel and the chapter 19, and you'd find that it says this in verse 10. He said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. And so I want to say, thank God he came looking for us. Amen. I mean, we was lost in a bin. I got to thinking about this, and my friend, several things about that. As you find that whatever was lost, it was valuable to somebody. That is, they cared enough about it to go looking for it. And thank God. Now listen, if I lost a nickel, I'm not turning around going back after it. If I lost a quarter, I'm not turning around going back after it. But if I lost a boy, I'd turn heaven and earth over to go try to find that lost son. Amen. I say, thank God. Hey, listen, face anything that makes me feel like somebody, I understand I'm not. I understand I'm not nobody. But the fact that the God of heaven would leave heaven where he's at and come down to where you and I are and to find something that he never lost and to regain something that he did not have to, that you and I might get to go to heaven, I say, thank God and thank God. Amen. Let me say this to you, friend. As you look at this passage of scripture, I got to thinking about this, the danger of being in a lost bin. And so the items that are in a lost bin, and the longer they're there, and the less amount of time, it's likely that somebody's going to come after them. I want to say this to you. I couldn't say this and stress this enough. To our young folk, thank God. Trust Christ with all your heart. And while you're still yet young, amen. Go after God while you're young. And before life's hardened your heart. And before you've heard so much gospel that you no longer respond to it. I tell you, when the Holy Ghost passes by your way and lets you know that you're lost and on your way to hell, and you ought to respond to God. Amen. And the first fine thing we find in this text, and the first parable, simply this. It is a sinner that is in danger. Amen. And the first parable is a parable of a lost sheep. A sheep that's gone astray. I thought about three things. There's several folks, they don't even understand how much danger that they're really in. And
me just say this to you, first of all, the sheep's in danger because of its environment. Could I say this to you, friend? Where the sheep's going to, Kevin? It's not a friendly place. The Bible said it's a wilderness, amen. Oh, I got to thinking about this. You understand, there wasn't no wildernesses. When Christ first formed this earth, thank God, only a garden. And God put man right in the heart of that thing. He didn't put him to get the weeds out. He put him to dress it and to keep it. But because of man's deviation, there is a wilderness. That wilderness is a dry, it's a desolate place. It's a lonely place. I want to tell you this, thank God. The loneliest I've ever been in my life, that was the night conviction came on my soul. And I realized I wasn't part of the family of God. I felt like I was an outcast. And to thank God, to an extent I was an alien from the commonwealth of Israel, a stranger from the covenant. I mean, listen, without hope, having no God in this world. But I thank God the next verse says, but now, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. I want to say thank God. Thank God he brought us in. I'm saying in the wilderness you find it's a place of deviation. I find it's a place of isolation. Hey, you remember the Bible talks about the children of Israel, and it says that they wandered in the wilderness. I thought it's a place of temptation. You can read in your Bible in the Matthew chapter number 4, and it's out in that wilderness where the Lord Jesus Christ, where he was tempted 40 days and 40 nights, and where the beast came around it, where he was empty, my friend, in his belly, but he was not empty in his soul. That's a place of temptation. But I got good news for you. You say, what's the preacher? What's God do for something like that, preacher? He sends a preacher, amen. In the book of Matthew chapter 3, it says John the Baptist came preaching, and he came preaching in the wilderness, amen. You remember when you was in a wilderness and God came preaching to where you was? Thank God, thank God. Hey, smile at me a little bit on that one right there, amen. I mean, what a blessing that the God of heaven, he didn't get me with a rock and roll song. He didn't prick my heart with a country song. No, it was preaching, amen. It was preaching. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And listen, how can they preach except they be sent? I still thank today, praise God, you can't learn how to be a preacher. You got to be called to be one, amen. Amen, preacher, that's still right. That's still right. It's still right, amen. And so God sent a leather-lunged preacher by the name of John the Baptist into somebody's wilderness. And I thank God, listen, everybody look up here at me. When John showed up, he didn't pat everybody on the back and say, hey, God loves you, amen. God loves you, thank God. I praise God, God loves me. But when that preacher came in the wilderness, he knew the only way they'd get out. He said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. I don't know why we've done away with repentance, but I'm telling you, it's still right. It's right for the sinner, amen. If you're ever going to get anywhere with God, you're going to have to repent, amen. That's right for the saint of God. If the saint of God's not right with God, the only way you'll ever get in fellowship is to repent. I thank God for it. I'm glad God grants repentance. And not repentance of this world. Thank God you get sorry because you're in a bad circumstance and nothing ever changes. I'm talking about when you get sorry because you've offended God and you know you have. And there's things wrong between you and God and you know there is. And you say, God, I'm sorry that I've offended thrice holy God and I've trespassed your word. I want to get right. Amen. Oh, yes, listen. I'm glad God sent me a preacher, amen. One that wasn't afraid to preach, thank God. I'm glad when they showed up. Hey, listen, Brother Mitchell would say, I'm glad when they showed up. They didn't go tiptoeing through the tulips. Hey, man, they named sin for what it was. Hey, thank God, listen. That social drinking's still wrong, amen. That's that right. Thank God. Listen, you can't name the name of Christ and be a part of the world. He said, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, as saith the Lord. Amen. Hey, you can't be a part of that crowd. Hey, Sharice, listen, I may not never get past the first point, but I'm telling you, there's a reason that the house of God is losing the power that it had, because nobody's interested in repenting. Everybody's interested in loving. And the only way it'll ever get right is for the people of God to get clean. Amen. I'm telling you, listen, you remember when you was a sinner and you was in danger. Amen. Oh, I thought about that wilderness and his environment. But then I thought about his enemies. Oh, listen to me, friend. I know I'm going to mess some of you up tonight, because what you think about God and what the Bible says, it's not the same thing. But what I preach will be found in the scripture. I'm telling you, when that sheep was out there, he was in danger, Holly, because that sheep did not have any idea the kind of enemies that was after it. There was lions, there was bears, there was wolves, there was thieves. And boy, I got to thinking about that. If only the Bible said something like that to us. And we find in John 10:10, he said, for the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Oh, thank God that's not where it stopped. He said, but I've come that they might have life and to have it more abundantly. And 1 Peter 5:8, he said, but your adversary, your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He said, whom resist you steadfast in the faith, and knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished and your brethren that are in the world. I'm telling you, we've got a very real adversary. But listen, I'm going to tell you, there's the enemies on the outside, and there's the enemy on the inside. Hey, you say, preacher, what's that enemy look like? It's the kind of enemy that goes off how things feel. Amen. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, that the heart is deceitful above all things, and it's desperately wicked. Amen. I tell you, listen, God's still against shacking up. He's still against all that stuff. And you say, preacher, it ain't never hurt me. Well, the end's not been told just yet. It's untelling how much damage has been done by folks trying to live their own life based on how they feel instead of what the Bible says. But I tell you, thank God, listen, it'll be a happy day in your life. And whenever you say, I'm going to live in the bounds of this book, and you say, preacher, that sounds boring. That's been the best life I've ever had. I go to sleep happy at night. I wake up with joy in my soul. And thank God, listen, I can go to work and meet with God. I can drive down the road and meet with God. I get to come to the house of God. Hey, listen, don't tell nobody about how much fun this really is. If you just get in on it, you'd find it is too. Amen. Oh, yes, I'm telling you. I got thinking about this. Let me say to you tonight, whenever you're looking at that, there's the enemy. And I got thinking about this. There's the biggest enemy that the lost man has, and he don't even realize he has him. And my friend, in the book of Psalms, chapter 7, you'll find that this God that everybody says, you know, folks got this idea in their mind, Nathaniel, and when they get to heaven, God's going to say, well, does the good outweigh the bad? Or how's that thing work? And no, that ain't how this thing shakes down, friend. It's not who's good or who's bad. Thank God, it's who's got the son and who ain't. Amen. Oh, yes, thank God. Thank God, thank God. I'm telling you, friend, the Bible would say it like this. It says, God judgeth the righteous. In the book of Psalms, chapter 7, verse 11, God judgeth the righteous. And he does. Amen. This crowd running around saying, hey, you ought not judge nobody. And the only reason they say that is because they ain't read their Bible. Amen. They know one verse that they got off TikTok and that never came. I mean, listen, not in the context of the Bible, amen. Not in context of the Bible, thank God. But I'm telling you, there's a God that judgeth the righteous. And then it said, and he's angry at the wicked every day. Hey, listen, this is what he said. Oh, this is the next verse. It's a rough one. And the Bible said, and if he turn not. Hey, talking about the sinner. He said, if he turn not, he will whet his sword. That's W-H-E-T. That means he'll sharpen that blade. He said, he hath bent his bow, and he hath made it ready. In other words, friend, if you don't come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're coming at God as an enemy, and an enemy whom He will destroy. And you say, preacher, I don't like that kind of preaching. And they won't like it in Revelation 19 either. And when He comes out of heaven on a white horse, and the word of God goes out of His mouth, it says a sharp sword, and those that are inhabitant of the earth shall be destroyed. I'm telling you, friend, and brother said it this morning, and God loves us at the cross. He showed it at the cross. And get in His Son. That's where God loves you. Amen. Oh, listen. If you're lost without hope in Christ, don't think that you'll fare very well. He'll not fare well on Judgment Day, friend. He'll not fare well. He'll not fare well. He'll not fare well when it comes time to close your eyes and die. I'm telling you, thank God, how we find a sheep, and it's a sheep that's in danger. But then I thought about the next thing. In the parable, we find a sheep in danger, but we find silver that's in darkness. And we've got some like that around here. And they're like that coin. And that coin's been dropped down. And that coin is in darkness today. Oh, could I say this? And you say, preacher, how did they get in darkness? Oh, I can tell. God help me today. I can tell you how folks get in darkness. How folks, let me just read it to you. And it'll be even better. That way you can put your finger on the scripture. But in the Gospel of John, chapter number 3, and we find how men end up in darkness. And we find what happens to them as they get in that place. He says in verse number, whatever that is, verse 18, verse 19, how the Bible would say it like this. And this is the condemnation, how that light come into the world, and that men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil, he hateth the light, and that, listen, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that cometh to the light, thank God that his deeds, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And you say, preacher, how do folks get in darkness? And they get in darkness because they like darkness. Amen. And they stay in darkness because, look at me, I can't tell you how dangerous that it is. I mean, Dad, I was thinking about this. I've been praying about this message for a month, and I thought about how dangerous that it is to sit at Amazing Grace Baptist Church, where God comes by and God starts talking to our heart, and you sit under the preaching and you sit under the movement of the Holy Ghost. But every time God comes by and He pricks that heart and He pounds on you and He says, guilty, 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 instead of coming to the light and saying, God, here I am, I know it's me, fix me, instead of doing that, men run to darkness because they love it. Amen. Oh, listen, I'm telling you, it'll only love it for a little while. Be sure of this. Be sure of this. I want you to know, I'm not your enemy. There's times that I'm preaching. Hey, Tony, there's times I get to preaching and I feel like everybody in here thinks I'm their enemy. I mean, I get to preaching sometimes, not like today. Today, my eyes is foggy. I can't see it. Make me no difference. You can give me the meanest look in the world. I can't see it right now. But sometimes I'm telling you, God gets to helping me. And I'm getting to looking out there, and the folks are mad about it, Brother Kristen. Yeah. And I'm trying to figure out what they're mad about. Yeah. I don't even understand. I mean, listen, don't you think that when the preacher comes to the house of God, I mean, I want to preach on the four hallelujahs of heaven. And Brother Kyle, I want to preach about walking up and down the streets of pure gold. I want to talk about what it is to shout. And I want to preach about the rapture. I mean, I want to preach about all that fun stuff. But the reality is there are sinners dying and going to hell all around us. And my friend, they're in darkness even now. Amen. That coin over there in the corner in that house, in the next parable, that coin's in that place, and it's unaware of its lost condition. I mean, it's unaware. It don't even understand what kind of shape it's in. We've got youngins come in here, Brother Jerry Jones. And listen, let me say this while I'm here. Let me step out of the message for just a minute. Brother Wayne, this will help some of us. While I'm preaching right here, Brother Stephen, I get asked this all the time. Hey, say, Brother Kevin, whenever y'all preach Vacation Bible School, why is it that you don't give altar calls every night? Because listen, we don't pick unripened fruit in this church, amen. If I got a bunch of 7 to 9 year olds in a group and I said, who wants to go to heaven? All of them want to go to heaven. But that don't mean God has shown them that they're lost yet. And you can't get saved until God shows you that you're lost, amen. But oh, thank God. I'll assure you of this. If you're lost in the house over there in darkness sometime, it's going to be a time, Brother Nathaniel and Brother Chairman, that the Holy Ghost is going to come passing by your way. And he's going to shine the light on your soul. And he's going to say, it's you, it's you, it's you. A man alive, thank God. We've got youngins that they've been singing. I mean, listen, I'll tell you this. I mean, whenever Allie got up here and a little tough, that man, he started that verse, Justin, and started filling my soul. Hey, you say, preacher, he didn't finish it. That's on account of God wanting me to. He said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. And so I say, thank God tonight. Hey, you say, how do I find out I'm in darkness? Hey, you get under the word of God, and the word of God that shines a light on your soul, amen. Says you're in darkness. You've got a coin. That coin's in that place. It's in darkness. And it's unaware it's in darkness. And thank God, and then the light shines on it. I want to tell you this. Light can shine on it all day long. That coin has no ability of itself to ever get up out of the position that it's in. Oh, but I got good news for you. Whoever's shining the light also has a handout. Amen. There ain't nobody cares anymore about coins than this man right here. He knows the difference between a good and a bad. He knows the difference between imprinted ones, double imprinted ones, misimprinted ones. I'm telling you, listen, I have watched him with bad back and all. If he shines a light, many a times I've been sitting here counting during our penny war, Brother Tawny, and from a mile away, to even look down, he'll say, oh, there's a wheat penny. And then he'll attempt to start bending down for the next 30 seconds and so he can get a hold of that wheat penny. And because that wheat penny has some value in it, amen. Hey, you say, preacher, why is God shining the light? Because whether you know it or not, man, you're valuable unto Christ, amen. Hey, you say, oh, no, not me, preacher. Not me, my life's a wreck. I've been shacked up. I've been a dope head, a drunk. I've been everything. Oh, no. Hey, listen, when God created you in his image, you bear a value that you cannot imagine. That's why there's been a power struggle. The world trying to take you to hell. But thanks be unto God for that hand that reaches way down to where we are to pull us up out of darkness and to translate us out of the kingdom of darkness, out of the kingdom of light of his dear son. Amen. Some sinners in here is in danger. Some sinners in this church in danger. Some sinners in this church are in darkness. In darkness. But then we find the third one. He's not a sheep in danger. He's not a silver in darkness. He's a son in defiance. Oh, listen to me. We're not going to shout on this point.
Preach, brother.
I'm preaching it anyhow.
Oh, yeah.
See, that coin Isaiah didn't know no better. Brother Jonah, that sheep's just dumb. It's dumb. And the further it gets away from the fold, exhaustion sets in. The longer it stays, the further it gets. Just a matter of time for that sheep dies. That silver's in danger, native, nobody ever finding it. But when you come to that son, this is the one I pray over our young men and our young women. They've sat in the house of God. There were some things that young man knew. That young man knew what the truth was. He knew he had a good father. He knew what the law was. He knew what was needed. He knew everything that there was to be known. But he chose to waste it all. Amen. He wasn't just somebody in danger that's just wandering. He wasn't somebody in darkness. But no, when he was in his house, he said, gimme, gimme, gimme. He stiffened his neck. He's hardened his heart. He said, that's not for me. Amen. That's not for me. And he got up and he walked out. And I'm telling you, friend, it's untelling how many hunters have been through these doors in the last 12 years. Hey, listen, they've heard the preaching, how God's dealt in their heart, how they knew what was right and wrong, and they laughed anyhow. Amen. Oh, listen. They went on their journey. I want you to listen to me. Are you listening real good? Hey, listen, first thing I thought about is how much truth he must have wasted. How much truth? How much truth? How much, listen, can I say this? I promise you, I mean this. God, hey, Cliff, God knows my heart. At the judgment seat of Christ, Nathaniel, God knows what I mean when I say what I'm about to say. Man, listen, it grieves me. There's places I go preach, you just think, man, nobody seems to want to be there. The songs ain't about Christ. The testimony's not about Christ. The preaching's not about Christ. And my heart breaks. But now you can't say that if you're sitting in this church. You're sitting in this place. And man, when they sing songs about how good God's been. Yeah. Folks get to testify and they testify about what God's done in our lives. When the preaching comes up, thank God you could find a better preacher, no doubt about it. But I'm telling you, thank God you'll not find one who likes to preach about Christ any better than I do, Kevin. I mean, thank God, listen, what I know is this. If Christ is not preached and exalted, there's nobody going to get help. Amen. Thought about that young man in that house, Lori. How much truth he wasted. And I thought about how much time he wasted. Oh, listen. He was in the Father's house where he could have been listening to him, could have been loving on him, could have been laboring for him. But Rodney, instead of all that, he said, I believe I'll just waste it. All the truth, all the time. And lastly, he wasted all those treasures. Man, Dad had give to him everything. Now listen, I'm getting somewhere and I'm about to be done. Joni, you and Lily's going to come sing in just a minute. I want you to listen to me real careful for just a second. Y'all listen to me. Here, Donnie Williams, here's the danger. Hey, Doug, that sheep that was in danger, the shepherd went after it. That coin that was lost in darkness, that light shined, and that hand went after it. The last time I read this book, that son that was in defiance, the father didn't go after him. Listen, say, preacher, why? Because he knew enough truth, and he had enough time, and he had enough treasures. God had given him everything he needed to know. God had given that young man everything he needed to be right with God. And he spit in the face of God. And he went on his way. Say, what do you do then, preacher? I'll tell you what. I keep preaching, but that dad kept feeding the fatted calf. His only prayer was, there'd be a day that famine would come in the land. Listen, there's some mamas and some daddies need to hear this. Sometimes when famines come in your kids' life that are wayward from God, you keep trying to bail them out when God's trying to put them lower so that they'll come to themselves. Amen. There's sometimes, thank God, folks got to get down and realize the shape they're in, that they have no friends, they have no hope. All the friends they thought they had's gone. All the fun times, gone. All the future, gone. All they have left is the truth that they used to know. Amen. And somewhere down there, Allie, Justin, you keep putting that word in his heart. If he ever does go out, somewhere there'll be a verse that'll pound in his heart. Thy word, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Right. I don't know what to tell you. All I can say is this. If you ever had heard truth, that truth's still in there somewhere. And listen, you'll not never fool me. I've done been in those places. I've been in those places where you doubt. And thank God there's nothing else rings true. And then there's that little song that'll say something like the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand upon the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. And I think, man, I never felt like this when I was in the house of God. Amen. He did come to his house. The title of the message is not Lost and Lost. The title of the message is Lost and Found. Lost and Found. Casey, I don't know about that young man, but I want to thank God. These folks here this morning, that if we had time, I could stop and say, how many of y'all were sinners in defiance, going against God, rebels? And then God got you out here and hung you out on a limb and you said, hey, like that little whoever's kid that was leaving at the beginning of the service saying, don't spank me, don't spank me, don't spank me. I don't know whose kid that was. I know everybody was laughing, but I was thinking, oh God. Remember getting away from the presence and the touch of God. I'm going to tell you this. You do with this whatever you want to. Brother Adam Beatty, I don't like to sit in the house of God and I don't feel His sweet presence come sweeping over my soul at some point. If I walk out of here and He ain't done it, I'm like that young and it was a holler and I'm saying, Lord, please don't spank me. Please don't spank me. Please don't spank me. Don't take Your presence from me, God. I want to be right. I have no other friend but Christ. I'm asking you this morning, what kind of shape are you in? You a sinner in danger? Sinner in darkness? Sinner in defiance? Those two, they were rescued. But that one, listen to me. He heard enough truth to get up, come to his senses, and run back to the Father. When he got to the Father, he rehearsed. Y'all know the story. Stand to your feet. You know the story. He rehearsed what he was going to say when he prayed. He rehearsed the words that was going to come out of his mouth when he began to cry. And all he did was get close to his Father, and that Father fell on his neck. Began to weep over him, began to kiss him. He said, Father, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Oh, but listen, right about there, he cut him off. He said, hey, kill the fatted calf. Bring hither the best robe. Put a ring on him. Shoes on his feet. Sinner friend, what about you this morning? They sing this song, what about you? Hey, saved friends, you've been out of fellowship with God for a long time. Be a mighty good time. Come get right with God.
I was leaving.